listeners. You are listening to a mini episode of That's Entertainment. I am your pop culture maven, Jeff Malone. And in fact, it's a What's Jeff Watching edition of That's Entertainment. So this being a mini episode as it is, that means it's just me on the microphone. My Aunt Beth is probably watching TV somewhere, or maybe a movie, or perhaps listening to an album, or better yet, looking after some dogs. Anyway, so on the What's Jeff Watching mini episodes, this is the 18th edition of this mini series. This mini episode mini series. Well, maybe I shouldn't call it a mini series because it's pretty ongoing. Anyway, whatever. However we determine the fate of that question. This is, in fact, the 18th edition of What's Jeff Watching. So I guess it's time for this little mini episode to get to the polls and make a difference. Jam the vote. Rock the vote. Don't rock the vote over. So anyway, yeah, on the What's Jeff Watching episodes, you may notice that in the mini episodes, the full length episodes, Aunt Beth and I talk about some movies and TV shows and sometimes some music and maybe some other bits and pieces of pop culture. But we don't talk about every single thing ever. But we're interested in some other things that we don't dive all the way into the deep end on. And to that end, there are some moments where I'm watching something and I'm like, you know what? I'd like to share my thoughts in podcast form, even if Aunt Beth and I aren't able to schedule a session where we can cover absolutely everything. And there's some times where there's a certain movie or TV show that only one of us is watching, but we want to talk about it with someone. So, you know, I'll throw out my thoughts out there, and whoever wants to listen, please do. And, you know, you can throw your feedback my way. And, you know, it's these What's Jeff Watching episodes have kind of become What's Jeff Watching, and also What is Aunt Beth Watching as well, because she sends me some text messages ahead of time if she has some thoughts of her own that she'd like to relay. So anyway, this is the middle of December, and the main thing I want to talk about right now is Pop Culture Jeopardy, a spinoff of the original. There's been many spinoffs of this classic over the years, and this is just the latest one. This one is, as you can probably surmise from the title, focused on movies and TV and internet stars and music and sometimes some theater and all that good stuff. The host is Colin Jost. And it's streaming on Amazon Prime. It premiered December 4th. And they're releasing three new episodes every Wednesday. And I think it'll be going until sometime in the spring. I think sometime until March was how I calculated. I don't think they've announced a season finale date, but just based on the format explanation they've had and the number of contestants they say they're having, March was my best guess based on my calculations when I think season one will finish up. So instead of three contestants per episode, it's three teams of three per episode. It works kind of seamlessly, or at least I think so. I've watched the first four episodes, and I'm halfway through the fifth as I'm recording right now. I'm actually probably going to finish watching it pretty soon after recording here. But, let me first remind myself what Aunt Beth had to say about it. She texted me a few days ago, and she seemed to be happy that she was watching it. And in fact, she said she thinks she would have done all right if she were a contestant, and together we would have done great. So there's that. I love Jeopardy, as I'm sure listeners of this show know. And the pop culture categories on typical Jeopardy are my bailiwick more than any of the other categories. So a whole edition of Jeopardy just devoted to those categories. Well, there we go. That's right up my alley. And I've been satisfied so far. Now, there's a few things that were details where I'm like, they could iron some of this out. And it's mostly in terms of the clue writing and selection. I think there's a bit of recency bias. There's more about stuff from the past 5 years than there is from about stuff from 50 years ago or longer. There is some stuff from decades ago. There was one episode where they had a whole category about the 70s. So, you know, why not take it back even further? How about 100 years ago? 1920s, maybe? I think that, you know, the contestants that they're attracting for Pop Culture Jeopardy, I think they could handle some older entertainment. Anyway, but I'm not complaining about some of the recent stuff they're including. You know, like social media stars, influencers, they're part of pop culture nowadays. So that's fair game. I'm fine with that. And you know, that's not my subgenre of expertise. I know a little bit about the TikTokers and the YouTubers, but you know, I'm fine. You know, I don't need to get all 61 clues correct per episode for me to be thinking that they're doing their job here. But I do think they could maybe mix in some older stuff a little bit better. Now, the other thing I take issue with, and this is an issue with regular Jeopardy as well, and it has been for a while, and maybe it has been forever. I feel like I've noticed it more in my adult years, but maybe it was also true in my youth and I just didn't really notice it then, is that the writers tend to not fully realize how difficult clues about quotes are and about the specific details of specific episodes are. There was one clue or like characters, like it's easier to identify a show than it is to identify a character. Unless it's the main character. But there was one clue. It was about fiction. The category was fictional, about fictional families. And I think the top row clue, which is supposed to be the easiest clue, was like, this son of something, Sylvia Moltisanti, did this. So I don't think they even said Sopranos in the text of the clue, but Moltisanti, you know, Italian. I've only seen like one episode of The Sopranos. I knew that's the show it was referring to. I just couldn't think, oh, what's Moltisanti? What's his first name? Meanwhile, then they're like the $1,600 clue, so second from the bottom, is supposed to be pretty hard, at least relatively. It showed a picture of a family sitting on a couch, and it's like, this ABC sitcom about a family in Indiana, blah, blah, blah. And so it was the middle. And I'm like, okay, the Sopranos is probably a more popular show than the middle. Even though I watched pretty much all of the middle and have seen hardly any of the Sopranos. But I'm just one person, fair enough. But I'm like, that middle clue is easier. It's showing you a picture of all the main characters and saying, what's this show? Meanwhile, the Soprano clues, it doesn't mention the name of the show. It gives you character names that you're not going to know unless you've watched the show. So, like, that's the thing. Like, there should be a way into the clue that for people who are not familiar with that specific subject matter. Like, there should be a way to figure it out, especially on the top row clues. The bottom row clues, okay, you can get pretty esoteric. Those should be a little difficult. But yeah, I mean, but again, this is not an issue specific to Pop Culture Jeopardy. I know it is popping up with regular Jeopardy as well. But for the most part, clues have been fine. Colin Jost is finding his way. The episodes are a little longer than the syndicated Jeopardy. They've been like maybe 28 minutes versus like 22 for the syndicated show, you know, so they don't have to fit into a time slot, so they can make room for some more jokes here and there, and Colin finds room to do so. I think the first episode, he seemed a little stiff, but he's been, I think, settling into things more and more as it's gone on. So, but overall, I've been satisfied. And here's the thing. when each episode is finished, I'm excited to watch the next one. So that is like my number one criterion for whether or not I like a show. So there you go. I wanted to also briefly talk about some movies that we've watched recently. Aunt Beth, she texted me about, she watched Emilia Perez and kind of liked it. She liked the three lead actresses, Zoe Saldana, Selena Gomez, and who's the other one? The one who plays the title character, who I wasn't familiar with in anything beforehand. What's her name? It is Carlos Sofia Gascon. This movie's getting Oscar buzz, so if it does get any nominations, I'll make sure to watch it. I wanted to see it in theater, but it kind of came and went so fast. It's, you know, Netflix release, so they only put it in like a couple theaters. I mean, on most of the movies, they don't put in theaters at all, but the ones that they hope get Oscar nominations, they do, to make sure that they're eligible. I would much rather watch it in the theater than watch it at home. So put it back in theaters, Netflix, come on. And then she also really enjoyed Joy. It's about the start of IVF in England and the three people responsible for its success. And she also made sure, Aunt Beth also made sure to note that we see the first test tube baby being born in 1978. I think that's also on Netflix as well. Let me make sure. Yeah, it's on Netflix. And I'm not talking about the 2015 movie starring Jennifer Lawrence and directed by David O. Russell, which I thought was pretty good. Not quite as good as their previous collaborations, but worth watching. And, okay, I saw a movie as well. It's called The Order. It's not the only movie I've seen recently, but this one you may have missed. It came out the first Friday of December. The first post-Thanksgiving weekend is traditionally kind of a dumping ground where most of the major studios just avoid completely. You know, we had the huge Thanksgiving movies just come out, and the huge Christmas movies are coming out in a week or so. But in the meantime, it's like, what can we just throw in there that we're okay with getting lost in the shuffle? So sometimes you get some weird stuff in there. H24 tried to have a bit of business with Y2K from, you know, the directed by Kyle Mooney. But other than that, like, you know, it's just a lot of like medium releases. And one of those was The Order. And, you know, it's just, it's, that was released by, I think, Vertical Entertainment. So not a huge studio, but, it might be playing somewhere close to you, even if you haven't seen any commercials for it. It stars Jude Law, as an FBI agent. I think it's like the early 80s. It's based on a true story. He's out in like the Mountain West, I think it's in Idaho and Montana and a bit of Washington State. He's tracking down this white power group led by Nicholas Holt. And yeah, they're like trying to pull off some terrorist acts to spread their philosophy, trying to get it to be the dominant one. It's a pretty decent crime thriller, pretty bleak as well, but worth looking out. You may not have heard it, but again, check the your local movie listings if you have some time in between Christmas shopping. I recommend fitting it in. It probably won't be in theaters much longer. Might be streaming somewhere soon enough. So if you can't make time for the theater, then hey, maybe you can give it a rental at some point along the way. I'd recommend that. And I also, there were a few other movies that came out as well that I wanted to see, but I don't think I'm gonna get around to, at least not while they're still in theaters. There's this one movie called Getaway, starring, it's two words, Get Away, starring Nick Frost and Ashlyn B, I believe her name is. And they're like a mother, they're a couple who take their family for like a quick little vacation, and then the place they're staying at, they gotta get away because there's some danger there. And then there's this movie called Werewolves, about Frank Grillo playing a guy fighting off some werewolves. I don't know if that got really great reviews or not, but I'm like, hey, why not watch a movie about a guy fighting supernatural creatures every once in a while. You know, just stick that in December before, in between all the merry, jolly cheering, let's have some monsters as well. You know, because we can't forget, Halloween was less than 2 months ago, and some of us are still feeling spooky. So, yeah, I was able to see The Order, didn't get around to seeing the Werewolves or Getaway. What else was there that I kind of wanted to... those are the wide releases, or like semi-wide. Then there were like a couple of smaller releases that weekend as well that might be expanding in the next few weeks, so you might be able to pick up or getting awards attention, so that those other ones you might not miss. But I don't know if I've piqued your interest about The Order or Getaway or Werewolves or Y2K for that matter, go ahead, check them out. It'll probably be something different than what you're used to, even if they aren't that great. I think it's worth, if you've got the spare time and the spare cash, I think it's worth giving a chance to some of those oddballs like that. Anyway, yeah, okay, so I'll go ahead and wrap it up right now. It's been the latest edition of What's Jeff Watching here on That's Entertainment. Aunt Beth and I should be having a little mini holiday episode soon, so yeah, keep your ears out for that. That should be arriving just in time for Christmas. And then soon enough it'll be 2025. In the meantime, you can follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. And you can support us on Patreon if you'd like. And you could send us an email. That's entertainmentpodcast@gmail.com. And please keep your emotes handy and your eyes open.